Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by Scale Up Consulting, helping FinTech startups create a scalable organization to support an ever-increasing demand. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@scaleupconsulting.co. Now, over to the show with Richard Doty, founder and host. Hello, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Scaling Up Show, where we talk to entrepreneurs and executives and get their insights of how they're scaling up themselves and also scaling up their businesses. And today, super excited to welcome back Fabian. Fabian is the founder and CEO of MassApp. Prior to founding MassApp, he's had a career, an entrepreneurial career. He's founded other businesses. He's also worked as a consultant. And back in the day, he also worked as a music promoter. So, you know, I thought I'd throw that in, Fabian. Really nice to have you back on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Nice to meet you again. Hope you we have an enjoyable chat here today again. Was great last time.
Brilliant. Let's kick off. I mean, just to give everyone a bit of a sneak preview, what we're going to be chatting about today is control and leadership as you build up yourself and also build up your business. So I think the best place to start is that word control. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, I think it's got a bit of a bad rap. When society thinks of control, maybe we think of micromanagement and things such as that. But, you know, having control around yourself and how you scale up and build up your knowledge and also how you build up your business is going to be, very important to you achieving your success. So what I'd like to know from you, Fabian, is how have you gone about controlling your business so you can reach the milestones that you want to reach week in, week out, and also sort of year in, year out?
Yeah, thanks. So control is always a two-sided question. The one part is that you get an overview of your business, and especially if you're growing, you have to have, and I still believe that after 20 years building businesses, you have to still have a good overview on your KPIs. So very classic control of some key factors that you define for each business that can be various. For MassApp, we have various different startups that we are supporting, so it's maybe a different for each. But you have to set your KPIs, not too much, not too low, to have a quick overview and to get a real sense what is going maybe not in the direction you want, and then directly jump to it. So that, I think, it's very classic. We played around with KPI, we played around with OKR, et cetera, all these new models. In the end, you have to find your own kind of setup, and that we have already as a framework that we use for our company and for startups, and then adjust it each. So that's the classic part. I think the other part is what I've seen over the years. You have to be really give up control, to say it like that. So you cannot control every decision. You managed, you mentioned the micromanagement. You can't do that if you have over 100 people, if you have 5 startups that are running on your platform, etc. You can't control that all in micro. So you have to understand that you have to give up control, and that in your each department or each startup, you have to be trusting that the people run it in a way that you want to have it. So, and that comes back to align on the same goals, to align on the same sense of business, the same brand awareness, et cetera, et cetera, and that the people will run it within this framework on their own. And I think if you want to scale up, you can't go into micromanagement, have everything on your table. That won't work. And I saw people doing that and they got burned out. The business not running because everybody's waiting on decisions. So that is not totally new again, but I see it in practice that is still not happening everywhere. So, and that's why I think you really have to give that.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that. And just to bring in a bit of a real life story here to the conversation, I was recently in a conversation with a colleague and a friend, and, you know, a very good entrepreneur, and he's only 29 years old. And a few months ago in August, he vanished, and we got in touch again just this last week. And I asked him, you know, what's going on? Where have you been? And little did I know, he actually had a heart attack at 29 years old. And the reason he had his heart attack is exactly what you just mentioned. He was burnt out. He felt like he had to be in every, you know, little part of his business in order for it to grow and move forward. And he wasn't able to give up that control element. So, you know, I think it's extremely important that you give up control, but you also need to give up control so that in a way that you also have visibility of what's going on in these departments or startups, So you can lead them to a prosperous future, right?
Correct. And you always have to understand that you, as a founder or a leader, you don't have all strengths in the world.
Exactly.
And the business is getting so complex from the product itself, from marketing, from brand, from digital processes, etc. You can't don't know everything. Whatever you read, you maybe have an insight, you have an idea, but you will never be able to manage all that. So in the sake of growth, on the one side, you have to trust people and to find the right people. For sure, that's not easy, but you have to find them and let them do. So that's the other part. And it's as well for your own sake, it's the best not to worry about all the times, about all the aspects. Yes, you can go nitty-gritty in everything and maybe sometimes interesting, etc., but you will never master it as an expert on that. So you have to find a way for both of it, for growth and for your own sake, that you get people you trust in.
And I like what you said a few minutes ago when you mentioned we have KPIs and we have this information at our fingertips on a week-in, week-out basis, maybe month-in basis that, you know, if the shit hits the fan, you know, Fabian can jump into the boiler room and help out. And, you know the conditions of certain departments or startups and you're able to react accordingly, because that reaction could save a department or increase revenue. How do you find out what the condition of your department and or your different businesses actually are on a week in, week out basis?
Well, the setting, like I said, the setting the KPIs, we build our own framework over time. So, and you have to have a regularly look for it.
Yep,
so whatever,
exactly.
A weekly meeting or with dailies with certain teams, etc. So, and you have to really put the KPIs that you can manage it in short time and do it regularly. I think that's important. Whatever is happening, do it steadily and look at it and get a feeling on that. And then if you do that, you get a feeling better. Okay, that was now delayed the second time. Maybe we have a closer look, we talk, etc. So the steady framework, like I said, I'm not adding a new kind of management here. It's more going back to basics. You have your KPIs, you have your framework where you control it, but do it. The digital tools can help you a bit to get notification when something is delayed, etc. You can work with that, you can emphasize there, but it's really very, very be in a constant way talking to the people and getting into these stuff there.
You know, making certain you obviously have the data at your fingertips and acting on that data or those KPIs, those conditions as we've spoken about. That seems to me that you're taking full responsibility for your business and your business and your team's future. You know, I think responsibility and leadership is sort of, again, it's a word that is potentially got a bad name, because sometimes there's when we think, oh, we're taking a responsibility, but if something goes wrong, you're going to get blamed. We better not take on that responsibility. But actually, taking on the responsibility, as you just mentioned, can really move the needle forward when the time is required to move the needle forward, or help a team member out when the time is required to help a team member out. So other than what we just chatted around data, etc., what other aspects do you consider are important as a leader when you're taking on further responsibility to make certain you sort of control your ecosystem of influence?
Well, the responsibility is always, if you're a founder, you are responsible, period.
So
there's no, you know, you cannot say, well, there was pandemic, there was this one, there was not delivering that, there was delayed, etc. Whatever is not working out in your business, it's in the end, it's always your fault. You have to be clear about that. So it's your own, it's your fault. So, and it's part
of it. There's a saying, don't be the cause, not the effect. So if you as the founder, you got to be the cause. If there's a pandemic, it's fine, but you still got to be the cause. You can't be the effect.
Yeah. So, and that's so that has to be very clear. So there is no way you bound a company, but if it's not working, it's others' fault. That's not work. Then you're not. Yeah. You're not the right person on that. So, and that comes back to your team as well. You have to inspire them and saying, that's our goal. We have this in our mind for our customers, for our brand. That's what we want to do. So I can, yes, play it out in numbers and in KPIs later on. That's maybe a control mechanism, but it starts in the beginning to really inspire your team and your partners in what you want to reach and to deliver that. And I'm really convinced if you take the responsibility to make clear what you are about, then you have the foundation, and then control, etc., is a side topic. Yeah. But if everybody understands what you really want and aligns to that goal and is in a company because of that goal, then you move in a direction. Then you can scale. Then control is easier because everybody understands what's not working. But in our sense, we have now to improve that and that. Then you're getting in a dialogue. And brilliant. As a founder, again, you can't go into a machine, especially if it scales very fast. You can't go into detail and look for everything what's not maybe working. But if you have it in your company, everybody understands, then they call back and saying, hey, that's not the way in a sense. What can we do about it? So and that's what you can bring in. So your responsibility is always for the full business. There's no way out of it. So and then you have to get it to your customer, to your partners and employees as well.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying there, because you're mentioning dialogue, you're mentioning partners, you're mentioning your team, and ultimately communicating all the time. And you communicating the message, you're communicating the philosophy, how we're going to do things, where we're going to go, and there's alignment. And people can push back if they want to push back, because maybe they think something is wrong, but that's a good thing, because you're trying to get your team in sync for the next sort of challenge or obstacle ahead, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it brings a certain value as well to the team. So it's a purpose as well. So if they understand you take it for, it's important for you. Mm-hmm. It's really something that you want to do, something what is important for you, then they take it over. And then they see a purpose in their job as well to work with you on that goal. Mm-hmm. If you're just another company and saying, hey, we have a nice IT program, then after 4 weeks, it's maybe not interesting anymore, and then go away. There are so many options in this world, you know. And I think it's important for us to deliver that there's a reason why we are doing this, and it's a reason why you're here, and it's a reason why we have fun together on that. So that's all it's connected for sure.
100%. And it is also important to look at the future, but stay in the present, right? Because sometimes we can't influence the future. There's, you know, things that happen that, you know, just are out of our control. So as a founder and as a leader, an executive in your business, how do you make certain that both you and your leadership team, and also your actual, you know, team of experts, sort of stay in the present, focus on, you know, the nitty gritty that needs to get done today, so tomorrow can be better?
Yeah, and that is a problem. So you have so many options. So and when we were around 6 years old, we did take many wrong routes already because we thought, yeah, that's nearby and that's a good idea. Let's jump on it. Yeah. As you know, in a startup feeling, you always have to. Sometimes you feel you can do everything. And if I look around at this time, I think we are now involved in 4 startups, and I could still do 10 more, because there's so many options what you can even do in this field of insurance. So you're tempted all the time. But it's really important to focus, because you never get it done if you're getting in 5 things parallel. So it's really important to focus, and you have to reflect on your own every time and again, regularly. So I think that's the point, to do things steadily, control steadily, reflect steadily. So really have written down what you want to do, what is your goal, what is your milestone, and what is part of the milestone and what not. I think it's important that you always, and if you read startup people that give their knowledge from what failed before, this focus thing, and to really concentrate and really just concentrate on what is needed for the next milestone, that is a very important part. And really, you have to write it down, pin it on a wall, and discuss it. I think it's not only that you reflect it, but you put your team and saying, hey, you have now 3 ideas. You have sprint teams, and they come, hey, we saw that, and we can do that in the next sprint. It's just 2 days. It's just 3 days there, etc. So we always have to say, guys, that's the goal. That's what we want to go. When we have done that, we go for the next. So that's the point, to reflect, to write it down, and to discuss it together, and again, regularly.
You know, just to go back to one of your points there, running things in parallel, multitasking, these all sound really, really great potentially when you're starting out. But, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, it's going to lead you down a road of unfocus, maybe not getting towards your goals, as Fabian was just saying, that you want to achieve. And also, potentially lead you down the road of burnout. And you really, really need to zoom in on what your purpose is in life and also in business, because they're all the same, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that leads us well to have clarity. And everybody can work better if he has clarity. So, and look at a startup. What do they have to do? And the first step, they have to show a small fraction that their business in general can work. So they concentrate, and it is maybe just a landing page with a small product, but they show the numbers. That's their focus. if they now build 100 content pages around because they think they will need it sometimes later, but it's needed for that step. Mm. They hire 3 people, write stuff, get overnight, etc., but it's not needed at that point. So really get it on focus, get clarity, and then you are, in the end, moving faster because you have managed that step and then you can concentrate on the next step.
Yeah. Some sage advice then. You know, we're mentioning teams, we're talking about, you know, leadership here. I mean, other than, you know, just dipping in and helping people solve problems when they need to, when they need your expertise and helps, how else do you make certain that you're adding value to your team, making certain that we give it enough value that they are able to sort of move forward in their purpose and in their life and in their sort of situation?
Well, it's partly coming back to what I mentioned before, that you have to deliver a certain purpose for what we are doing. So, and an alignment on that. So, and I think it's a lot of, it helps you in life as well, if you're satisfied with your job. If you understand it and see that's value to me, maybe value to the customer as well. So that's in line for me and myself. So that's why I'm lying to drive that. So every you bring in a lot of time in job. So it's a big part of your lifetime. So you should be satisfied on there, even if we work at home now, maybe, or it's less or several, but it's always a big time. So you should be satisfied. And what we can bring value is to deliver something where we say that's clearly what we want to do. That is clearly our goal. That is the message. If you are aligned to it, well, then come on board. And then if you're aligned, then it brings a certain value to you and your life.
And just going back, it's that clarity part, right? Because as soon as people are on board, they understand what they're getting into. You guys, we all in sync. We're all going to be moving forward together. And then there's this constant communication going back and forth that makes certain that, you know, the purpose of the overall purpose is achieved. But also, people change, right? You know, we might, someone might get married or someone might, you know, have a baby. You know, making certain and always linking back into that particular person and ensuring that what they want to get out of their next stage in life is also achievable, right?
Yeah. And I think if you're, well, the work environment changed anyhow. So you have to deal with different life concepts, et cetera, anyhow, if you want to be. And so you have to show that still fits you to miss your message. So that's one part, and that you're open. I think you have to be more flexible than as a company today than maybe 10 years back. But what is a good thing, and you can get inspiration out of when people are happy, they're easier to deliver as well something to their work and to work together with the team. So that's the one part. On the other side, I think you should be clearly what your company is not. So there are maybe people that don't want to invent the world new, or they get problems if you say you have all the time for your creativity, just do whatever you want. And they say, well, I don't know what I want. So it's really, I want to work on a development and have a clear goal on my side. So you would get them into trouble if you force them to do something that they don't want. So, and it really, clarity means as well, we have to show that's what the company stands for, but that's what not. So if you don't like it, it's all fine. There will be something that you really like, but then maybe not. So always coming back, message, what do we do? Is that in line with your goals? And then we are together getting to a happy future, to be empathetic.
Well, that's what we want, right? We want a happy team, happy life. We used to say happy wife, happy life, but I think it's also happy team, happy life, right?
Well, like you can bring the wife sometimes for breakfast or for the evening event or something like that. So it's all good. Or the husband, sorry. It's many, many wife working. So, and
yeah, 100%. The husband, yeah. 100%, yeah. And, you know, in the same breath, I'm thinking that, you know, if we want a happy team, we also have to have a happy founder, right? A happy executive board. So, and the way to get happiness from your team is sort of the same way as to have happiness as a founder, doing the stuff that you're good at. So how are you making certain that you're doing the stuff that you're good at and you enjoy day in, day out, and staying in that maybe your strength zone, for want of a better word?
Well, the part is really, from our side, it's coming back as well to take this strategic approach and reflect on that. So as we discussed before, so as a founder, you have to give the direction. So you have to be, first of all, clear about that. So, and that is a constant improvement as well. and to see where we are going with the company. Is that in line with the goals still? So you have to do directly first with your own, the same what you do with the company later on. The only point is, and I did that as well in the pandemic period, you have to reflect with other influences. So I read a lot of and looked a lot around, not from insurance, but from other brands, from other companies, to see something, is there something what we can adapt and learn from it? And the other point is really get on a challenge board with people you trust. So I reflect, I got an idea, is that the real point? And before just going out there and doing, hey, we changed the direction, you need people around you with whom you can discuss that stuff. And beyond the many mistakes we did in the years with MessUp, what is always, if you're 6 years around, you have a lot of them. But a very good thing is from the beginning that we had partners and investors where we can do that, where we really can say, hey, guys, that's working not. What is your opinion on that? Can we challenge me? Is that the right direction, et cetera? So, and I think that is something what you have to do as a founder and what helps you to keep concentrated. Mm-hmm. There were many ideas in the past where we said, oh, that's maybe a new direction. Is that the stuff? But it's not fitting for us. And we skipped a lot of stuff as well. Yeah.
Mm. No, it makes sense. And, you know, what do you think out of sort of the control and leadership aspect of founding and leading a business, what do you think three things founders and executives should be doing more of?
Yeah. So the one part I just mentioned, I really read a lot. I watch a lot around it. And not only InsurTech examples, that's as well for you. You always have to look on what's happening in the market. But it has to go beyond, hey, we have the bigger thing and that's the new thing, et cetera. Yeah. So that, and there was a lot. I took just in the last year, I took a lot of that and tried something new. So that's one big point. The other point is, and that's really tough, travel. And I don't mean it maybe, we can't do a travel as we did it before. And I really miss that, by the way. But we are now worked with projects on 4 different continents. So South America, Asia, Australia, now even Arabia. And you get so many inspired influences from these markets, cultural-wise, but also product-wise. Yeah, all insure people stuff in our area, but it's different from the regulation. And it gives you a different aspect on how or what fires back to your product as well, where you get in reflection again. So that is really take a distant perspective, look around, and put that onto your business. So that was really a big point. And even if you could not travel, but we talked. We saw, and you get so many possibilities and insights. So really, really, and the business is different in all these areas a bit. So that gives a lot of insights. Yeah.
So get out there and network and learn different cultures and see the world. I mean, now.
Yeah, and get out of your existing network. Because it at a certain time, it comes back with the same ideas, with the same process, with the same buzzwords. So, and that is, at a certain point, it doesn't drive you further, I believe. So I'm not saying it's not important, but you need, especially in a growing business, some other aspects as well. There's a lot of outside. Yeah.
Brilliant. And, you know, I'm going to flip the coin now and ask you if you have any questions for me on either leadership or control. And let's see if I can give you some insights.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of leadership because as I said I read a lot, but really about all these systems of controlling, etc. I'm still coming to the 15-year-old back OKR and something else. Is there a new development what you can provide me, what I can trust?
So this is quite interesting, right? I think it's something that as I've worked with clients, I've found a lot of founders stumble their way through this part of organizational building, right? Yeah. And what I mean by this is, you know, when you're a one-man band, when you're a 10-man band, 20-man band, and you're starting to grow, there's an organizational structure that fits different parts of your growth story. And inside that organizational structure, you need to have mechanisms that you can, or triggers that you can pull in order to understand the data. A lot of people talk about OKRs. Yes, I get it. Those are very important. But as you're starting to grow, what will your company look like in 12 to 18 months' time? Because you need to start leaning into that process so there's not a big, massive shift later on down the road. What I mean by that, the biggest companies, you know, there's going to be 21 or so departments in those companies. But obviously, starting up, you're not going to have 21 departments, but you need to have that understanding that you're going to lean into that at some point in time, potentially. The first departments maybe going to be business development. You're going to have PR, marketing, et cetera, inside there. And you know, if it's tech, there obviously will be a development department. Underpinning those, what you really got to do is make certain that on a weekly basis, not a monthly basis, not a quarterly basis, but on a weekly basis, just as you alluded to earlier, you're running stats as to what's going on there in these departments. And you're looking at those stats and you're assigning conditions off the back of that. So what are conditions? There are conditions that you need to assign to certain parts of your business. Maybe in the business development world, something's not going well and it's in an emergency conditions, which is therefore for you as a founder, you need to jump in, just as we alluded to early on, and help out and make certain that there's a process to go through in order to get it out from emergency condition to the next condition. And that way you're starting to scale up that that particular department and move them from different conditions all the way up to sort of affluence and power, which is obviously where you want to get to, right?
Yeah. And I can follow that in both ways. So not make the control times too long. So do it on a weekly basis as well. And to deliver by that way, a structure. The people have to know there is a structure, something where they can from one point fit in, but they know there's somebody and there is a structure what they can hold on as well. So I think that's two key important points in any kind of framework, however you label it then.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a structure, but, you know, the team and the leaders within inside that team have the autonomy to make it their own, right?
Yes.
They are in charge of it. They're going to push it forward. Yeah, we're going to talk about it on a week in, week out basis, but we got it because we all want to move towards a prosperous future, you know, and we have to have the stats in order to do that.
And again, as I said before, you said autonomy, and was said before, the departments have to be free in their decisions. On the other hand, many of your departments need the backup that they know they can do decisions, because before it totally fails, you will be there with a structure again. So I think that is gives them more freedom to do the decisions what you need them to do.
Listen, I think we're in a complete alignment. I think there's a high five there. Bam. Virtual high five. To wrap things up, I've got what I call a flash round for you, which is a bit of fun at the end. It's a few questions. I'll let you know at the start this would happen, but it's a bit of fun just to give those sort of executives and entrepreneurs out there a bit of insights as to what it takes to move forward out of maybe certain parts of where they are right now. The first one is, you as an entrepreneur and a founder of a business, what would you say to those folk out there that feel they're stuck in a particular part of their business right now? Maybe it's a growth part, or maybe they're just starting out. What advice would you give them to move beyond that?
Okay. So talk to people. And the other point, get into a distant. So I think it's part of the reflection is to imagine yourself what is happening in half a year, and maybe 2 years, where I want to be. And will that what I'm doing lead there? And if not, you will directly maybe see some points. And startups always get asked from investors, do a 5-year plan. And you say, hey, guys, you're crazy. Well, 5 years it's an eternity. But in the end, it helps you reflect to reach that what I'm pinning down there in an Excel quite easily. What would that mean? So in this kind of distant future view gives you a bit of reflection what you have to do and what is maybe missing at the moment. So that's one important point. And then take your blueprint and talk to two or three good friends that you know. In the best case, you have built them more as investors at advisory board or something like that. So don't be shy to talk to people. I think that's a common problem as founders, that they think I have to do it on my own. I have invented it. It's just my brain, etc. But if you look at important founders, it's not. They always have some good advice at a certain point in their career, and you have to get that. So build early these kind of people. Must not be massive, but 2, 3, 4, 5 maximum. And then go at this point to them and say, hey, give me 2 hours. Let's discuss it from a maybe distant view.
Brilliant advice there. We should all take that on board. And The next one is an interesting one, because you mentioned earlier on you've been with MassUp for a few years and you had a lot of trial. There's been sort of a trial and error. So I'd like to know out of your 20-year entrepreneurial journey, what has been the biggest failure and what have you learned from that?
Well, the biggest failure is it's mainly about technical systems that we built that then nobody else used in the end. So a very classic mistake of doing something besides the focus. So that's one part. We built a brick broker system in the first year, and then we did found out that was in that case not needed. So it was a lack of research, was a lack of communicating, talking to people to get really into the business case. So really, what I emphasize now when I talk to new startups on our platform, say, hey guys, have you really done that in detail? So there's a lot that was what I know you burn 300 days in development on that. So that is always the biggest failures here.
And on the flip side, what is the most memorable story or success coming out of your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, it's exactly this year, to be honest. So we had to remodel in the pandemic because some things broke down. But working now with three startups and three continents and build them all up, they all know live or going live to end of the year. It was a great achievement, but it was so entertaining as well. So talk to very different cultures, having great people there with a lot of knowledge in their market, have a lot of inspiration. I've never felt so satisfied in a job than bringing these knowledge and experience together. So in the center point and helping everybody with a different knowledge from that. So that is a great achievement. And whatever we did before to come to that point is already something that is really, when we're talking about what brings joy in your life, is really something what we like to be. Yeah.
Awesome. And listen, as we wrap up the show, Fabian, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, LinkedIn. If you're not a reach out for another IT service company or the next business developer or fitness trainer or something else, what comes, I answer it. So it's no problem to get to me.
Awesome. There we go.
Well, you get so many stuff where you think, hey guys, read my profile. I don't need it. Please.
It's awesome because we've just spoken about control and Fabian has just given us an example of controlling the people that are coming right into his world. Yeah. So awesome example there. And you know, guys and girls, you know, this is a really fabulous episode. There's lots of chunks in here. There will be obviously show notes, so you can dive into those to take a look at the most meaningful nuggets. There'll also be micro content and video coming off the back of this. But if you wanted to reach out to me and chat to me about any of the points that we raised, give me an email at richard@scaleupconsulting.co and happy to jump on a call and have a chat with you. But Fabian, awesome to have you on the show again. Really nice episode and looking forward to your success.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. It was great. Thanks.